Y98.
KYKY FM and HD1 St. Louis.
For 12 years, this organization has been doing multiple of things, helping to remove shoes out of our landfills while simultaneously helping kids in Jamaica have a better life. We're going to find out all about this organization, which you may not know of, called A Place of Safety. They're my guests this morning on The Metro Show. Good morning. I am Tim Burt, and joining me is the president of A Place of Safety, Ronnie Reichhold. Ronnie, good morning.
Good morning. How
and
are you?
I'm great. And also the vice president is with you. We got the big guns here today. Is Kim Fogarty, vice president. Good morning.
Good morning, Tim.
I'm glad you guys could come in and talk about this organization, which, you know, to be honest, until maybe a few weeks ago, I had never heard of you. And that's not derogatory. It's just a statement of fact. What's the backstory of A Place of Safety, Ronnie?
Well, it all started about 28 years ago. I went to Jamaica on a vacation. I had lost my parents at a young age. You know, it's hard to survive at the age of 15 with no parents. So I see these little street kids in the street, and I'm like, where's their parents, you know? They were living on a boat in the port of Ocho Rios. They slept on the boat. Well, I befriended them, fed them the whole week. Well, my friend went off and, you know, they did
partied.
What they... Yes. I cried the whole way home because I left this little boy there.
Sure.
And I thought, I'm going to go back someday and help these children. You know, find a... build shelter farm or do something for them. I mean, they just can't live like that. They had no education and no one really seemed to care. And I know that Jamaica tries hard, but in developing countries, it's really hard for them to find places for these children to stay. There's not a lot of orphanages.
The structure in Jamaica is probably not the same or as extensive as it is here in the United States.
No, it is not. And if there is an orphanage, I was shocked when I went back years later. You could just, hey, can I have Ryan come out? Oh, yeah, take him on.
We don't have room for him
2 weeks while I stayed in Jamaica. They just didn't, yeah, go ahead, feed him. But anyway, so I came back to the United States, and I said, I'm going to go back someday and help these children. Well, then I had a child. I was a single parent.
Using math here, I believe 85 is probably when you went down there, 1985. And then how long was it from 1985 until you actually started A Place of Safety or you actually got the things in place to start A Place of Safety?
Well, I don't know what happened. One day, my son, at this time, he was in, I guess, high school.
Mm-hmm.
And he was in a private high school. I put him in there for discipline. Not that he's a bad kid whatsoever, but you know, they, there's more structure and, and I love that Dean of Discipline. I don't know if I can mention the school, but, CBC he went to,
right.
Thank you, Mr. Barr, for helping me with my son. But, and my son went on, he's a music major, trumpet player and, you know, good kid, but he kind of compared himself with these other children at CBC and says, Mom, we don't have this. Mom, we don't have that. And all of a sudden, I just said, I'll show you what you don't have. So I called the Ministry of Health. I thought, this has got to stop. I'm taking him and throwing him in a shelter in Jamaica. I'll see how he likes that. So I'm kind of a strict parent. So I was. I called Jamaican for... I went straight to the top. I got a hold of Mr. Bowen. He was in charge of the Children's Service Division there. Don't ask me how I got a hold of him, because years and years later, you could never get a hold of him. I said, I'm making a trip to Jamaica, and I'm bringing my son, and we're bringing, you know, 10 duffel supplies down. He said, come on down. I met him at a shelter in Jamaica. It was a boys' home. It was one of the worst places I've ever seen in my life. I know they tried hard, but with the resources they had, I mean, the children would just run around free, throwing stones, hardly any food for them to eat, bread. We brought a couple of the boys back to the States, and they won't eat bread now. They just refuse, because that's all they ever had to eat there.
Yeah, that trigger is probably... pretty deep in their mind, and they make the association of, this is my childhood, I don't want any of that.
Memory gone, you know. So that was when I first started my first trip. So it was 2000, maybe 2001,
mm-hmm.
2000 I went back.
Okay.
And what I saw at this boy's home and what my son saw changed his life.
How old was your son when this all went down?
He was like 15, maybe.
Okay.
And there was three older boys at the shelter that had been there. Over the years, we kept going. They thought, oh, we're just tourists that want to. A lot of people like, oh, I want to go help, you know, the children's homes. Well, they go and help, but they never come back.
But there's no follow up.
Right.
Yeah.
And
these
kids just thought, oh, here we come. You
There's
know,
another
we're
one,
never
yeah.
going to come back. And I thought, I'm coming back. And my son would, you know, gave him the soccer balls and we played soccer. And I mean, we stayed for quite a while. And then we came back the next day and the next day on our trip. I met a little boy there named Rayon Smith, who totally changed my whole. He taught me everything about Jamaica. The boy would escape from it was nothing. I mean, these homes that you go to, these shelters, to get to them, you go through potholes that are 2 feet by 8 feet way up in the mountains. They put these kids up there so they won't escape and come down where the tourists might see them. So they stick them way up in the country so they can't come down and beg.
It's all about public image at that point.
Exactly.
It's all about the tourists. And, you know, to be fair, can you blame them?
No.
Can you blame the country of Jamaica? I would probably do the same thing.
Well, right.
However,
human beings.
Exactly. I was just going to say that the ultimate point we're hitting at is these are human beings, too. And look, there's a point that you hit that you got to help these people. So for 12 years now, you've been doing this. And for those who may have just tuned in, here's a quick reset. Ronnie Reichhold telling us this fascinating story about Jamaica. She's the president of a organization called A Place of Safety. And helping out the kids at Jamaica and also helping out her own family here at the same time. But we're going to get a little bit deeper into how you can help here in just a minute. Also, Kim Fogarty, who's been very, very patient over there, the vice president. We're going to get to you shortly. They're my guests this morning on the Metro Show. It's a organization called A Place of Safety. So, Ronnie, you go down to Jamaica. This was 1985, you go down. And it sounds like that was kind of a demarcation line in your life. It just changed your life.
It totally changed my life.
And then it changed your son's life when you drug him down with, you know, oh, these first world problems. I don't have this. I don't have that. Here, I'll show you what a problem is.
Right. And so I not only, and as we went down through the years, my son drug his friends down there to show them what, and it was usually, he's very smart. He picked the friends that were a little maybe colorful and thought they, you know, might have had a little bit too much or given too much.
They needed to be knocked down a peg or two.
They needed to be knocked down a peg,
sure.
And these boys worked. We had built, we've hauled concrete. I mean, built churches. We've built children's, you know, a boy's home. We've supplied water tanks. And the boys he brought down from CBC, and it's not like mixing concrete here. I mean, the water was, you know, 100 feet away, and you had to drag the water in the buckets to the concrete and mix it.
Right.
And 110 degrees up in the country.
And humidity, and I would imagine, as well.
Oh, yeah.
I've been down in that part of the world in July and August, and it is like walking in a dishwasher. I mean, it's unbelievable.
It is. Exactly.
It really is. So let's talk about where you are now. And you know what? Let's have Kim jump in here
for a
second. Because not to diminish your story. It's fantastic.
No.
She's been patient over here. So Kim, we're talking about all of the shoes now, these shoe drives. We were talking about the landfills. And how that helps the environment. We pull all these shoes out. The stat that when I first met Ronnie, 600, how many shoes?
650 million pairs of shoes are dumped in our landfills each year in the United States.
So obviously we want to lessen that number, mm-hmm. but and recycle those shoes and give them to kids in Jamaica and elsewhere who don't have them and need them. So how did you get on board with this whole thing?
Well, Ronnie and I were neighbors, and our families became very good friends with her family, Grandma Iacovelli. Anyway, we just became instant friends. And over the course of years, I noticed that her passion was these kids. When she came back, and I saw a change in her. And when she did have her breast cancer, I was there every step of the way with her. And I told her, Ronnie, her son wasn't quite old enough to take over or to do what she really wanted to accomplish. And at that time, we really didn't know what we could do and even accomplish. Yeah. So I said to her, I want you to know I want to come aboard and help you. I see this passion. I want to help. And she said, okay. So I planned a trip. I didn't know what to expect. I did kind of, but not really.
She probably gave you some insight and said,
yes.
You're going to see this and this and this. And you went, yeah, okay.
Right,
and
exactly. Then... but again, it changed my life. When I went there, we went to a place of safety, COPS. It was called COPS Place of Safety. And it just, when I looked, I just really took everything in. The first time we brought shoes in from CBC, had a shoe drive.
Mm-hmm.
And we had, oh my goodness, this was a miracle story. 10 bags full of shoes. And we didn't know that we should have pre-organized everything. We just kind of threw everything in a bag. And when we got there, we were greeted. And the boys all went to an auditorium. It was a small auditorium. Nothing, you know, no air conditioning. It was dirty. And they...
It wasn't an auditorium.
It wasn't really an auditorium.
It was a concrete slab.
It was, yeah, but it's
like
a room.
It's
a room.
Right. Sure.
But I call it an auditorium. And we asked the boys to all sit down. And they were just all so happy to see us. And when I went in, there was like three different groups that we put these boys in. And we just started pulling shoes out of bags. And they're all barefoot, filthy. And we're just sizing up shoes. This is our first time here. We've never done this.
But it was total chaos.
It was total chaos, yes. And
how many boys were in the room?
I would say at least 60.
Wow.
Yeah.
And it was jam-packed, and we were sweating, and like you would not believe. And it was like, so after the whole event, after we all got back into the bus on the way down, we all started talking. There was, I would say, at least 10 of us on that trip. And miraculously, we used every pair of shoes that fit each boy.
Did you think that maybe you would have some excess left over?
Yes, we didn't know.
It was like a God.
It was a blessing.
Each child had that perfect fit.
And there was a left foot. His feet were crooked. They call him Crooked Boy. Do you know that we just happened to have one extra pair of shoes, the same tennis shoe, and he got to wear, he smiled. I'll never forget the smile on his face because he had two pairs of shoes on his feet that fit perfectly.
Right.
And that's when I realized that the higher power has intervened and he will never disappoint the children of the world.
Well, it probably also opened your eyes to the bigger vision.
Yes.
And
yes.
Meaning, not only do these people need shoes, but they also need what we consider basic life fundamental things, necessities. You had mentioned earlier, Ronnie, about water tanks and mixing cement and building a boy's home and things
just
like that.
Just to have water is a
running
privilege.
Water. Yeah, absolutely.
Right now, I mean, to get water up to these children and not have a water tank, they might go without water for days.
Mm.
I mean, it's, and this is still going on in Jamaica. I mean, and not that they're not trying.
I was just going to ask, where are you now, you know, as opposed to when you started, you didn't know what to expect. You had no idea what was going on.
It changed my life.
So as opposed to when you started in 2001, now here we are 12 years later, or what is the state of the areas that you have touched?
We've put a mark on each place we went. We go to several, children's homes, and there, I mean, we constantly bring in supplies, you know, like education materials, medicine, clothing, shoes, hygiene products. I mean, a lot of times, you know, there's the girls in girls' homes. They don't have hygiene products.
Sure.
None.
Right. Feminine hygiene things.
Right.
Go ahead.
We built a church in Norwood. It's a distressed part of Jamaica. And the pastor there brings in these high-risk youth and keeps them and houses them. So we've helped build that. Like I said, we've bought water tanks, constructed wells to provide running water for a few of these shelters. We helped build a boys' home at Robin's Nest Shelter. It's an American lady from the United States that started the shelter years ago. She's my idol. I want to be like her when I grow up.
Well, I would say that anyone who's listened up to this point or maybe just joined us and heard some of these stories about Jamaica can only say, and I speak for them probably, when I say you're doing God's work. I mean, this is mm-hmm. just unbelievable work that you're doing, and especially because the perception that I think most Americans have of Jamaica is this island paradise with resorts
right.
and all-inclusive buffets and all of these things. There is a dark and ugly side to every country.
Yeah.
Jamaica is no exception, and you are helping to shine the light and help these kids out of poverty and show them mm-hmm. that there is more to life than just living on this mountaintop
That's
with no running
right.
water and electricity and things like that. So if you've just joined us, here's who I'm talking with this morning. My name's Tim Burt, and we're talking with Ronnie Reichhold, the president of A Place of Safety, and the vice president, Kim Fogarty, is here with us as well. And these two wonderful women are just doing magnificent work in the country of Jamaica. Now, I have never been to Jamaica. I've mm-hmm. always wanted to go. But when I do go, and I will go, I'm going to make it a point to find some of these places that you're talking about. Now, on your website, I'm assuming you have a website.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yes.
You list the places where you go?
Yes.
Okay. So let's talk about how the average person, such as myself, who is not involved with this and just mm-hmm. heard about this charity, how can we help? What do you need? Obviously, we talked about shoes.
Well, we're having a shoe drive right now.
Sure.
And it's to help clean our environment up also.
Yeah, this is a multi-step thing.
Right, it helps
out.
All developing countries, these shoes.
Yeah,
because they micro-enterprise them and repurpose them.
Pulls the shoes out of the landfills, which
right.
clogs up the landfills and creates problems for us. But it gives the materials and the shoes to those kids who need it. Kim, let's talk to you for just a second. You went down on basically, if I understand correctly, one of the first real shoe drives that you guys actually
yes.
had.
Yes.
And when was that?
That was, I would say
2003.
Okay, yeah,
so Desmond, about 10 years
right,
ago. Okay.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. And we just had, like I said, we really just filled these bags up and we had about 60 pairs of shoes.
Sure.
And it was all boys' shoes. They were sandals or tennis shoes. And we just, like I said, just...
A pair of shoes can make a difference if a child goes to school.
Yes.
I mean, if they don't have shoes and a uniform, because they have uniforms in Jamaica. And if you can't afford a uniform or a pair of shoes...
You're not going to school.
Our transportation to get to school,
right.
you're not going to school.
Mm.
Our book bags.
So think about this for a second. A kid in Jamaica that does not have a pair of shoes, that could be the difference between that kid getting an education...
That's exactly right.
...and being... uneducated possibly for the rest of his life. Possibly. I mean, we're talking a pair of shoes.
Mm-hmm.
Not affluence.
Right.
Not are you connected with the right people. A pair of shoes.
That's right.
Can be the difference between a kid in Jamaica getting an education and not.
Mm-hmm.
Wrap your brain around that for a second.
Yep.
I mean, that to me is just staggering.
Right.
But here's Ronnie and Kim helping these kids... Any idea how many lives you've touched? You know, these
a
kids?
Lot.
Oh, I'm sure. I mean, that's rhetorical. But, you know, how many kids have you guys personally helped get an education just by bringing them a pair of shoes?
Well,
I mean, that's incredible.
They never thought we'd come back, but they were always surprised, like, oh, here comes Ronnie and Kim and,
right.
and the gang again. You know, oh, they do care about us.
When This organization has been recognized by the Jamaican. Tell them that, Ronnie.
Well, I mean, yeah. I mean, they know me. The children
have been recognized. Shaking it up. When we say we're going to do it, we are going to do it, and we're going to get it done.
Mm-hmm.
And when they see Ronnie coming, they jump.
Yes.
I mean, it's amazing. Mm. We have a crew of taxi, our transportation people.
Sure.
And on any part of the island, we can contact anyone at any time for our safety. Where we travel, they hate us because the wear and tear on their vehicles.
Yeah.
Oh, you're going up to these remote areas with the potholes.
We don't have to go up there again.
Yeah.
Oh, and
what do you want to go up there?
So we take care of their families as well. We help them as well.
Sure.
They're like our family.
Sure.
And that's how it's become. And Ronnie, and so when we go there, we have a team, literally a team of not just one or two, a team of transportation that we know that they're going to help us.
How often do you guys go down to Jamaica?
Well, I just got back.
Okay.
I traveled from one end of the... I went by myself this trip because no one was able to go with me. I traveled from one end of the island to the other end of the island, dropping off supplies. I brought in 6 wheelchairs, 4 walkers to the home for the disabled children, and 14 bags of supplies.
Really quick, what do you think is, because you started this whole thing, what do you think is the root cause of all of the ills that have befallen these kids in Jamaica that you've seen?
Well, it's
they
don't have the resources. They try hard. I know they try hard. There's a new director there, a woman, and she's making a little bit of a change there.
But is this a governmental issue?
Yes, it's a government issue.
Okay. That's where I was really going with that question.
It's a government issue, and I know they like I said, they try their best, but with no resources, what are you going to do?
Sure. Because it sounds to me that the government obviously places a higher priority on the resorts and the tourism industry.
Exactly.
Than it
does. How they make their money.
Exactly. Right. I mean, we're not kidding anybody here.
That's right.
Believe it or not, we are almost out of time.
Oh.
Well, Tim, can I just say one thing?
Well, of course.
Ronnie hasn't mentioned a very important factor here, and it needs to be mentioned, is she adopted a son named Rayon Smith and brought him here to St. Louis, and that was the little boy she mentioned earlier, who's been very much part of our lives.
I was going to say that name sounds familiar.
And my husband and I were the guardians.
Mm-hmm.
And Ronnie, if you want to talk a little bit about Rayon, I think it's important because he's the one that has really
Rayon was a boy we met at the first shelter, and he was a boy that lived on the street since he was 5.
Wow.
I sent him to the best schools here. He could
like
not
our son.
Read or write.
He is our son.
He did not know how to say please, thank you, because he was never taught these things.
Right.
I had to have find his mother to sign him over to me. And when he saw his mother for the first time 6 years later, they just reunited. And his mother assumed that these government-run shelters could feed him where she could not. So a lot of these parents put their children in these shelters thinking it's for care and protection, not knowing that they're not receiving education.
It's almost just like a dumping ground.
That's right.
That's absolutely right.
Yeah.
But Rayon has touched my life. Since then, he moved back to Jamaica with his mother. He's there now. He still can't get the street out of him, but I love him unconditionally.
And we take care of him. We still support him in every way.
How old is he now?
He's 21. I met him when he was
21, and he calls us his mothers. And he never cried. It took him years to cry. And every time we come now together, he cries because we taught him love.
Wow.
He never had any love.
I go, what are you crying about? And he said, I can always count on you. You taught me love.
Wow.
He tells us.
That's fantastic.
I know.
That is fantastic.
I thought it was real important to bring that up because
we do have some goals. We're besides our shoe drive, what we'd like to.
Well, sure. Well, let's talk about the shoe drive real quick.
Okay.
The shoe drive is ongoing.
It's an ongoing shoe drive.
Okay.
And we have drop off points. If you go to our website under drop off points, you can see all the drop-off points.
And your website is?
Aplaceofsafety.org.
Okay, aplaceofsafety.org.
One word.
Yeah, all one word. Aplaceofsafety.org. What sort of shoes are you looking for? Anything in particular?
I am looking for your beat-up shoes because they're going to repurpose and recycle these shoes.
So they don't have to be in perfect condition.
They do not have to be in perfect condition.
Nobody's going to wear these.
They're new.
They're going to rip.
Matter.
Yeah, they're going to rip them apart, I would imagine.
Exactly.
Got it.
And it can be one shoe, one boot, whatever.
You're pulling out the resources of that shoe and turning it into something else,
exactly.
Recycling it.
And the shoes that are in better condition, then we will distribute to the children.
When you talk about recycling these shoes, is this a St. Louis organization that's helping you, or who does that?
I was approached by Funds2Org, and that's another non-for-profit agency.
Mm-hmm.
And what they do, they're the ones that ship these shoes to developing countries so they can micro-enterprise these
Got
shoes.
It. And I was just,
so I don't have to worry about the shipping on that.
I was going
to
ask who takes care of that, but there
so
we go.
So I was blessed by being approached by them.
Absolutely. The aplaceofsafety.org is the website, aplaceofsafety.org. Any shoes that you have laying around the house, I don't care if it's one shoe, I don't care how new it is, old it is, this could be the difference between a kid in Jamaica getting an education or being uneducated for the rest of his life. That's how dramatic.
That's right.
That's how much of an impact a pair of shoes can have to a kid in another part of the world. Think about that for a second. If you're just joining us, that is a fact. That's not mm-hmm. hyperbole. That's not conjecture. That is fact. Because Ronnie Reichhold and Kim Fogarty here from A Place of Safety, been my guest this morning on the Metro Show, go down to Jamaica how many times a year?
At least once a year.
I was going to say
once
probably.
A year.
Well, I thought you'd say at least
airfare
3 or 4.
Airfare went up, though.
Airfare's gone up.
And a lot of the charter, I always have to take a straight shot charter flight because I bring so many supplies.
Oh, sure.
I can't have layovers. And they only run certain times of the year now where they used to.
We used to take worry-free a lot, and they're gone. Well, they out of St. Louis.
Sure.
Direct flight.
Right. Gotcha. Aplaceofsafety.org. Real quick before we go, what else are you looking for? Obviously shoes, but what else?
We really need a used bus to drive these children to and from school. 95% of these children rely on cabs to get to school. And we're looking at like $1,875 will buy a used bus for these children.
$1,875. If you know someone, if you can donate if 180 people donated $10.
That's right. We're also looking for, there's a lot of vendors, street children that become vendors because they do not have an education.
Mm.
And even though their licenses and permits are up to date, they don't have anywhere to sell these goods, whether it be bottled water, whether it be candy, juice. My last trip, I did buy some plywood and zinc to help build a new vendor stand. If you go on the website, you can see what a vendor stand looks like now.
Gotcha.
So $3,000 would approximately help me supply the wood for the vendor stand.
Vendor stands. All right. And that is all on aplaceofsafety.org. Do you have a listing of all the things that you're looking to
do? Under goals and uses, under aplaceofsafety.org, it'll tell you how $530 can educate a child all year. That includes transportation.
That's everything.
Yes. Everything.
Aplaceofsafety.org. Aplaceofsafety.org. This all begins with a pair of shoes. Donate a pair of shoes. You can drop them off at where?
There's drop-off points.
Oh, you have that listed on the site?
Yes. It's listed on the site under current
traffic. And it keeps growing.
Okay. Good deal. And just a quick shout-out. I know that Edith from Comfort Shoe.
She's fabulous.
Has been a huge partner of this, and she's actually the reason, a big reason that you're
here
talking
here
this
today,
morning.
That I'm here today, and I shout-out to Edith.
Yeah. So,
thank you.
Comfort Shoes. Is it Comfort Shoe a drop-off?
Comfort Shoe Specialist is a drop-off.
Okay, they're on Manchester, mm-hmm. about a mile east of 270. Ladies,
one more thing.
Fantastic work. Oh, one more thing you want to throw in here.
I found a place in Westmoreland, Jamaica, and the property I pray for, it's a house with an adjoining house behind it. That property keeps going up. Mm-hmm. But roughly is $125,000 to purchase this property so I can have my own children's home in Jamaica.
So that's the ultimate goal, to have your own.
My own ultimate goal is to have my home in Jamaica with these children.
Well, let's start that with a pair of shoes. It all begins there.
Shoes.
Yeah, it all starts there.
Yep.
Donate any shoes that you have, and also, of course, they're looking for cash and a lot of other supplies too. But you can find out all about it on aplaceofsafety.org. Ronnie Reichhold, President; Kim Fogarty, Vice President of A Place of Safety. Ladies,
thank you so much, Tim.
Fantastic work you're doing. Please keep it up.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Come back. Let us know what we can do for you next year, okay?
All right. God bless you.
Thank you. This has been The Metro Show.